Alone Under the Mistletoe. A Mad Foggy Fic written by Martha V and read by 42 Do Not Panic. Wishing upon a star one Christmas Eve brings some unexpected complication to Foggy's life, namely a hellish time loop that can only be broken one way, kissing Matt Murdock under the mistletoe. He was standing under the mistletoe. Foggy wondered if Matt even knew. That was a pretty broad question. Did Matt know he was standing under the mistletoe, his face bathed in a soft glow of blinking purple lights, snow gently drifting past the window behind him, like a Christmas cliché, or a dream that Foggy very much wanted to come true? Then there was the other question, the same question, but more. Did Matt know? Did he know that Foggy was in love with him, that he had been for years? For all that Matt seemed oblivious to things sometimes, Foggy suspected that he wasn't, especially knowing what he did now. Matt was the masked man, the devil, the man without fear. And Foggy wasn't. He was afraid, afraid of rejection, afraid that he had a type or that he was a type himself, a lovesick fool. He felt connected to Matt. He loved him, he wanted to be with him, and he just couldn't tell him. He left Matt standing there in the end and he went home to his apartment and his dog, the husky cross Labrador failing to lift his spirits. He hadn't even said Merry Christmas to Matt. It felt insignificant compared to the other thing he wanted to say to him. I really love him. You know that boy? He murmured to Deuce, who thumped his tail against the floor, his blue eyes big and sad, like Foggy's heart. He went to bed soon after, alone, Deuce deciding to sleep in his own bed in the living room. He was a good boy. He was definitely on Santa's nice list, and if Foggy was, if it was good enough to be entitled to one Christmas wish, it was the one he whispered to the shooting star that streaked past his window, for a chance to tell Matt how he really felt. Foggy woke up alone the next morning and cooked a solitary Christmas breakfast, although he did give Deuce a couple of bacon slices, a gift that was very enthusiastically and gratefully received. Santa hadn't been, although Foggy had quit hoping he would when he was about 9. He checked his phone as he ate his eggs and bacon, finding to his disappointment that there was no messages from Matt, not so much as a Merry Christmas. In fact, he didn't have any Merry Christmas messages from anyone. That made him feel lonely and forgotten, and he wound up feeding the rest of his breakfast to Deuce, who liked eggs and loved bacon. Foggy liked to think that Deuce felt the same way about him as he did about bacon, but maybe that was just wishful thinking. He planned to spend the morning in his pajamas, watching old movies, since Christmas dinner at his parents' house wasn't until 1 p.m. anyway. Matt would spend his morning at Mars, of course. Foggy wasn't quite desperate enough to spend time with him outside of work to go with him. He thought about it sometimes, though. His phone rang as he flicked through channels and he mumbled, "Hello?" "Hi, Foggy, it's Karen. Sorry to bother you, but Matt isn't answering his phone," said Karen, her tone anxious. "It's fine," mumbled Foggy, sitting up properly. "What's the problem?" Matt wasn't answering his phone. Why wasn't he surprised by that? Although he had to admit, he was glad the reason for that was that Matt was in church rather than lying in an alleyway, bleeding out. It was a nice change, good for his blood pressure at the very least. Karen sighed and said, "Mr. Harrison's attorney are here to sign the IP assignment agreement." "They came in yesterday, it's a done deal," muttered Foggy, frowning slightly. There was a long pause, and then Karen said, sounding quite perplexed, "No, they didn't." "Karen, I specifically remember them coming in to sign that transfer," Foggy exclaimed, leaping to his feet and startling Deuce, who had been dozing on the couch. "Well, they didn't," Karen insisted as Foggy tried to remember the document in question. He was quite certain he remembered Mr. Harrison and his attorney coming in. He'd remembered the guy from law school, a real douchebag by the name of Jerry McLeod. Matt hated the guy, and Foggy did too. He was insufferable. "Ugh, fine," he groaned, running his hand through his hair. "I'm on my way. What are you doing at the office on Christmas anyway?" "It's Christmas Eve, Foggy. Christmas is tomorrow," Karen informed him. Foggy blinked. "What? No, it isn't, he said, glancing at the date on his phone. December 24th. Foggy, are you all right? Asked Karen, her tone filled with concern. Yeah, just not enough caffeine, you know? Foggy said with a brief attempt at bravado. I'll just shower and then I handle this IP assignment. I'll have a fresh cup of coffee waiting for you when you get here, Karen promised in the most soothing of tones. Thanks, Karen. I'll see you soon, said Foggy, hanging up. He glanced at Deuce and frowned. He was sure, almost positive, really, that he'd already met with Mr. Harrison and suffered through the Nelson and Murdoch Christmas Eve spectacular. Maybe he dreamt the whole thing, he decided, going to shower and make himself presentable for Mr. Harrison. It had been a very weird day. Very weird. That sense of déjà vu proved impossible to shake, largely because at a few minutes to midnight on Christmas Eve, Foggy found himself at the office party, staring at Matt, who stood alone under the mistletoe. Foggy looked at him for a long time, until those red-tinted lenses turned his way and he knew that Matt realized he was being watched. Uncertainty filled him, and he swallowed hard, knowing what he wanted to say to Matt, knowing what he felt. But then Matt smiled, and Foggy lost his nerve. He turned around and set his empty wine glass down on the desk he passed. He went home to Deuce and fed him, sighing as he looked out the window at a shooting star. The same star he could have sworn he'd seen the previous night. Or in the previous night's dream. I wish I may, I wish I might. Foggy didn't speak his wish aloud that Christmas Eve night. He curled up on the couch with Deuce and wondered what it would take for him to put it all on the line for a chance with Matt. When Foggy woke up and it was Christmas Eve again, he went back to bed and refused to acknowledge what was happening. It was New York City, right? Freaky stuff happened. Aliens and immortal ninjas and turtle ninjas and blind ninjas. God, the city was a ninja hotspot. But then it happened 24 more times. Foggy no longer cared about the how or why of it. He wanted out. It was exhausting and it was painful. He boarded the first train out of the city, not even caring where it went. Washington D.C., as it turned out. 3 hours later, the train pulled into the Amtrak station, the doors slid open, Foggy stepped onto the platform and fell. When he straightened up, he was right back where this whole thing had started. At a certain Christmas Eve party, looking at Matt Murdock, standing alone under the mistletoe. Foggy closed his eyes for a moment, thrice at it enough that he almost wanted to scream. There was no escape from the twisted hell loop. No matter what he did, he always wound up in the same place, being taunted by Matt, who looked every bit as lonely as Foggy felt sometimes. He turned on his heel and left. No time leap was going to tell him to live his life, try as it might. 42 times. Foggy had lived this day over enough times that he knew every minute detail. No matter what he changed, the end result was always the same. He wound up at the Christmas Eve party, looking at Matt under the mistletoe. If he was honest with himself, there was one thing he hadn't tried yet. One thing he hadn't changed. He hadn't kissed Matt. He hadn't told him how he felt. He wasn't self-absorbed enough to truly believe that this walkie loop was anything to do with him, except that it clearly was. The fate had seemingly conspired to bring him and Matt together, even if only for a night, and Foggy was tired of fighting it. At 8 p.m. that night, he left his apartment to attend the Nelson and Murdoch Christmas Eve party. This was another change he was trying. He knew from many repetitions that Matt wouldn't stand under the mistletoe until a few minutes before midnight. That gave him nearly 4 hours to figure out how to tell him the kind of things he hadn't managed the previous 42 times. He was a few blocks away from the office when he changed his mind. The cab he was riding in was going past Matt's apartment building and Foggy happened to look up at the billboard out of habit, just happening to look back in time to see the red-suited man that was in center clambering up a fire escape. Stop! Cried Foggy, his tone urgent. Stop here, I can walk. He paid the driver in cash and ran up the steps to Matt's apartment building. He didn't stop until he got all the way up to the roof, bursting through the access door, knowing exactly what he needed to do and what he needed to say. He wished he could have said that he'd startled Matt with his sudden appearance, but Matt didn't so much as twitch. He observed him calmly, no doubt taking in more than Foggy was comfortable with, using those special senses of his. Foggy's gaze drifted automatically to Matt's hands, his knuckles swollen and bruised as he had known they would be. He'd never been able to get past this. The violence, the lies, this whole other side to Matt that he told himself simply didn't exist for so many years. He stepped forward and took Matt's hand before he'd even thought about it. He raised those swollen knuckles to his lips and kissed them, softly, gently, with acceptance. The devil was part of Matt, not a part that he feared or even resented. Not anymore. He raised his eyes to Matt's face, noting the faint surprise in not little of his expression he could see with the mask. He stepped closer and curled an arm around Matt's neck, drawing him into a sweet kiss, into the kind of kiss that Foggy had been longing for since about 42 Christmas Eves ago. Matt's mouth was so warm, so addictive, and Foggy never wanted to stop kissing him. Even when Matt drew back, Foggy continued to cling to him, and Matt let him. He let Foggy brush his fingers against his devil horns and whisper the words against his lips that he needed to say. "I really love you. You know that, right?" "I do," Matt replied and kissed him again, filling Foggy with bliss and pleasure and a wonderful sense of security. He and Matt attended the Christmas Eve party together, with Foggy kissing his law partner senseless under the mistletoe, just to make absolutely sure that Matt knew he wasn't letting him get away this time, and making sure the fates and the power that be knew that he'd gotten the message. When he woke up on December 25th in Matt's bed, he knew the Christmas Eve curse was broken. This was the new normal. He and Matt, together, like they'd always been meant to be.